But let's begin with a slight review. Thank you to Dr. Shimon and Esther for opening their home. And thank you all for coming out. Your father didn't come. We tried. Here's to Shem next time. Okay, so the Chovas HaLevavos began the fourth of the ten Sha'arim, the Sha'ar Bitachon, by telling us that there's really no midah and there's really no aspect of Vodas Hashem that's as critical as having Bitachon. It becomes obvious the more you learn about it how true that is. You know, I think we would all understand in some way that yes, the first thing Hashem said to us at Har Sinai was Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which according to many is the source for the mitzvah of Emunah. And we explained last week that according to the Chazon Ish, as he writes in the second parak of Emunah and Bitachon, which is all about, the second parak is all about Bitachon, he defines Emunah versus Bitachon. He says Emunah is Bechinas Halacha, Emunah is the theory, while Bitachon is Bechinas Hamasa, is the application. So they're two sides of the same coin, Emunah and Bitachon, the theory of belief in God, and then the application of living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that affects everything that we do, spiritual, physical, as he told us. And he began to present to us some of the benefits of a person who has Bitachon. What are the advantages of the Baal Bitachon? From a person of Bitachon, how does my life look different than the person who is a person who does not have Bitachon? So the first thing that we learned was that the Chovas HaLevavos pointed out that everyone needs someone to rely on or something to rely upon. There's no one who's able to navigate life entirely on their own. Why that is an interesting thing, but I think it's a psychological reality and it's just a Torah reality. In fact, I think I once saw that one of the tzaddikim pointed out that the reason the Torah starts with the letter Beis is to enter that reality. Beis, again, the duality of the letter Beis, which is ironic, you would think the Torah should start with an Aleph. And the Medrash deals with that question. When we get to the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem begins with an Aleph. So Beis is strange. The idea of starting with a Beis is strange. But perhaps the idea of the Beis is that, no, everyone has to understand, well, of course there is one Hashem, but no one's going to do this on their own. We had a drasha, last Sukkot on this topic. Right? The need for others. There's a quote I think I shared at the time. But it's important. I'm not going to get the quote exactly, right? I don't remember who it was from, but the quote was something along the lines of, it's important for us to realize that the world is made up of others with one trifling exception. I mean, the world is mostly others, and then there's you. And it's important to realize that we all need someone to be our other. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be my other. And if I don't have Hashem to be my other, and this was the point that the Chovas HaLevavos began with, if I'm not going to rely on Hashem, by definition I'm going to have to find someone else to rely upon. And that's going to be not great, because that means I'm relying on people, and I'm relying on all sorts of ideologies, and I'm relying on things that are other than Hashem, when in the deepest truth of reality, there is nothing besides Hashem. Right? There is the Ein Od Milvado, there is no one besides Hashem. So the more I can rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I quoted the Pasuk, if you remember, in Yirmiyah, that a person who abandons HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a double fault, right? It's a double fault. Kishtayim ros asa ami. The double mistake of abandoning Hashem is, first of all, you've abandoned Hashem, and second of all, you're wasting your time elsewhere, because the elsewhere is not going to be their solution. Now again, we haven't really dealt with, well, to what degree then do I engage, you know, human beings? To what degree can I count on human beings? To what degree is it appropriate to rely upon or to interact with other people? That's a very good question. But he's warning us, my rock, as a Kadosh Baruch Hu is called in Tanakh, my bottom line, as a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be viewed, it has to be Hashem. It has to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if I don't make a Kadosh Baruch Hu my bottom line, then something else is going to become my bottom line. There's a great mice with the Baal Tanya. The Baal Tanya was once standing behind one of his Hasidim, who was a businessman by profession. And he saw that this fellow was looking over his ledger. He was doing his accounts, balancing his book. And he's going through the various columns of his account. He's adding up the different investments that he has, his withdrawals, his deposits, whatever it is, he's putting together. And at the bottom of this form, right, it said, maybe not in Hebrew, but it said Sach HaKol, right? Like, what does it all add up to? Right? What's that called in English? The grand total? Right? The net? The gross? Which one? Okay, who's in the Kuzar counting here? Yeah? The net? Okay, Sachakol. Right? So this chassid of the Baal Tanya, he's adding up and he's crunching numbers. And then he sees Sachakol, what's the bottom line? And in a moment of his slavas, he writes, Ein od milvado. That's the bottom line. There's nothing besides Hashem. And Baal Tanya saw this and he said, oh, good, good. He knows. Right? You have to make a parnasa and you have to do business and you have to balance your checkbook. But you also have to know what your bottom line is. And the bottom line is that there's really nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the less I cling to Hashem, the more I cling to others, and the more I enter into that world of insecurity, of a false sense of security. When I rely on Hashem, we learned last time, we emphasized that one of the greatest indicators of a true Baal Bitachon is Menuchas HaNefesh. How do you handle the situation? As the Chazon Ish explains to us, bitachon does not mean, and he's very clear, this is how he begins the second parak of Amun and Bitachon. Bitachon does not mean that by having trust in Hashem, things will work out the way that I want them to work out. That's not true. We spoke last time about the mashal, the example, he doesn't give this example, but the example of a plane that's crashing. Right? Does bitachon mean that I'm not going to die in the plane crash? No, that's not what bitachon means, that's not what's expected of me. Bitachon in the plane crash, when the plane is going down and the captain says our engines have all failed, bitachon means to believe that I'm not here by accident. Bitachon is the realization that my life is not random. So when I get a flat tire on the most important day of my calendar year, I'm going to my most important client and I can't be late and I get a flat tire and now I'm late, bitachon is, this was meant to be. And don't second guess, well, why did I take this roadway? If I would have taken a different roadway, this never would have happened. And that's the lack of bitachon. The bitachon is the application of living with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem is intimately involved in my life. That doesn't mean I always get what I want. And if I would have had more faith, that doesn't mean I would not have gotten the flat tire. And having a lot of bitachon does not save you from dying in the plane crash, right? Which would be a tremendous statistical oddity if you were to survive. Bitachon is the realization that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge and Hashem runs the world. And I stay calm, I don't get panicked. The Chazon Ish says, you could see when a person has Yisurim, do they have bitachon or not? Push comes to shove, do they really have bitachon? The Chazon Ish paints a picture in the second parak of Munu Bitachon. He paints a picture of a person who's a so-called Baal Bitachon. The so-called Baal Bitachon, his name is Reuven. And he walks around all the time and he preaches bitachon, 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 bitachon. Reuven's a very successful businessman, he owns a store. All of a sudden, says the Chazon Ish, Shimon decides to open up a comparable business in town. And Reuven starts to slip. He starts to lose himself. At first, he doesn't come out against Shimon, but he calls a business meeting with his inner circle, and they're starting to figure out what can we do is to strategize against Shimon to make sure Shimon doesn't cut into our market share. Where's your bitachon? Where's your bitachon? And he describes this very sad picture of how Reuven totally loses himself to the point that he's truly trying to sabotage Shimon. So the fact that a person talks bitachon, bitachon, bitachon when everything's working out fine, the Chazon Ish says, doesn't mean anything. It's when a person is out of a job, it's when a person is struggling with their health, it's when a person has a series of very unfortunate events, to be able to say, this is also from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to be able to walk with a Kadosh Baruch Hu through those difficulties, that's what it's all about. The three examples that he gives of things that people cling to, and we mentioned last week the connection, slight connection to Parshas Korach, right? Sometimes people put their trust in their wisdom, in their own intellect. They think that they can outsmart the system. They can always come up with a way of finding an Eitzah using their mind. Some people rely on their strength, on their physical strength. They feel invincible in that way. Some people rely on their wealth. And he describes, we didn't get to read him inside, but he describes how, of course, money is a double-edged sword. First of all, sometimes people make a lot of money and never enjoy the money. They're so busy amassing the wealth. By the time they decide to, enjoy it, they're not in a position to enjoy it for whatever reason. And sometimes, not even worse than that, is that money, as much as everyone says, halavai, that's a nisayon that I'd like to have, right? Even though the Gemara says it's a bigger nisayon than being poor, so he says, okay, Hashem, let me try that nisayon, Put a couple extra $1 million in my bank account, let's see how I do, right? Let's see how I do. But sometimes it really does destroy a person. The Chovas Lavavos says it explicitly. Sometimes money can completely cause a person to lose everything. Money could be an opportunity to be more connected to Hashem. I don't feel the need to be as busy with mundane pursuits because Baruch Hashem, I have money in the bank. But Moshe Feinstein even once pointed out, and it's printed in Darash Moshe, that a person who has money in the bank has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that second is giving you the money. At that second, I've been saving this money for years. But to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a second can make it disappear, not just because the market could crash or, you know, something could happen to the whole banking system, even with everything backed by whatever, by gold, or whatever a shiny block of metals were. Right? Or not anymore, right? Right? But to really believe that at any given moment, if I'm looking at my bank account, that money is being put there by Hashem, and if it's a nice sum of money, I have to be extra thankful to Hashem that there's a nice sum of money there. It doesn't matter that I could show you how I amassed that money through my efforts over a period of time. It's not really mine, and sometimes money can destroy a person. So says the Chovas Levavos, and again, we connected it to the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu Perek Tes last week, Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachmaso. The wise person shouldn't be proud of his wisdom, and the Gibor Bigvuraso, and the Asher Ba'oshro, Bizos Yishalel HaMishal. If a person is going to be proud of something and feel good about something in this world, it's the fact that he has the Kodesh Baruch. As the Pasuk says, Haskel V'Yadosi. Yado is a lesson of attachment. Be attached to Hashem. Be attached to a Kodesh Baruch. Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher, on Amun and Bitachon, the second parak is called Bitachon V'Hadvekus. I want to mention that, a corollary of Bitachon is attachment to Hashem. Because Amun, again, is the theory of my relation with Hashem. Everyone here has, we believe in Hashem. We believe in Hashem. Even if we're struggling, even if you were to tell me privately, you know, you said that everyone believes in Hashem. I actually have a lot of questions. I don't believe in Hashem so strong. So I'd still tell you, right, that in your heart of hearts, you believe in Hashem. For whatever reason, you're struggling to feel that belief. But every Jew has Amunah. And I think most of us feel comfortable even claiming that we have Amunah. Bitachon is where it's much harder. Because Bitachon, how much am I actually attached to Hashem? How much of my life is lived with Hashem? How many of the decisions I make in any given day are connected to Hashem? He quotes from Maharal, Ki al yidei Amunah yesh l'adam dveikus bo yizbarach. That when I have Amunah, if it becomes Lamaisa, then I'm attached to Hashem. We go together. We walk side by side. A woman told me earlier this week, she said, you know, Rabbi, sometimes I'm davening out of the sitter, and I realize I'm just not there. So she says, I close the sitter, and I speak to Hashem in Yiddish. I just talk to Hashem. I have a conversation with Hashem. And then she said, it was so sweet. She said, and then afterwards, when I'm done, I say, okay, Hashem, we're gonna go now, you know, wherever she's going. And she says, I invite Hashem to sit next to me in the car. We sit side by side, and we go together. I said, that's amazing. Amazing. The way she was saying it was so real. Right? To have a connection to Hashem, to be davuk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be davuk to Hashem. The Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying, both in his commentary on Mishlei, and also the Evan Shleimo, which is a collection of the Vilna Gaon's teachings, Ikar HaKol Hu HaBitachon. It's the essence of everything. It's a test of what your Yiddishkeit looks like. Do I walk with Hashem or do I not walk with Hashem? Do I make choices in my life based on my relationship with Hashem? Or is Hashem just some, you know, grandmaster in the sky who's a theory more than a lemaisa? He quotes a beautiful, Rav Asher Weiss quotes a beautiful Rabbeinu Yonah on Mishlei. Bechol derachecha de'ehu. In all of your ways you should know him. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, ki yesh mi shevoteach v'Hashem yizbarach b'chlal. There are people who have a general connection to Hashem. Right? Generally I'm connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ach lo yashiv inyan habitachon alibo b'pratim. But it doesn't play out in the fine details of my life. I had an example today. I was at my parents' house this afternoon. And as I was leaving, I was locking the door. And I had some svarim in my hand. And I have a couple of keys on my keychain. I never know exactly which one is. A couple that look exactly the same. And I'm trying to lock the door. I'm trying to lock the door with one hand, holding the svarim with the other hand. And yes, it's like one of these doors. Also, you have to like pull a little bit and jiggle a little bit. And I put the first key in, and it's not exactly working. I switch over to the second. I caught myself for a second. I said, hold on a second. You just earlier this week, you saw this Rabbeinu Yonah on Mishlei. Right? And Rabbeinu Yonah says that there are some people who believe in Hashem, that when it comes to big things, I let Hashem in. Right? I'm going for a job interview for a really important opportunity. So that morning, I dive with a little more kavanah. We all do. I'm going to my doctor for a serious checkup. So I dive with a little more kavanah. Right? But there's certain things I can do on my own, like locking a door. Even the annoying door, they have to jiggle a little bit and figure out which key it is. I got Hashem, I don't want to bother you with this. I can do this on my own. Says Rabbi Yonah, that's a lack of bitachon. B'chol derachecha da'ehu means be connected to Hashem in everything you do. Not just to be connected to Hashem b'chlal, but b'chol derachecha da'ehu perish b'chol prate ma'asecha. There's nothing you can do on your own. Every step a person takes, he has to realize that Hashem has empowered me to take that step. Hashem is empowering me to take the next breath. I can do it on my own. I seem to do it on my own all the time. But that's a lack of bitachon. It's an amazing pshat. And b'chol derachecha da'ehu. And every, right? B'chol. And every little thing that you do, include HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the tzaddikim was once seen by his chassidim. He's standing in the corner. I think it was Rebbe of Chernobyl. He was standing in the corner and he was davening very intensely. And one of the chassidim wanted to see what the Rebbe was, you know, what's he trying to do? Is he like really making a big push for Mashiach? Like something very big is going on. So he snuck up behind the Rebbe to listen to what he was saying. And he heard the Rebbe, I think it was the Rebbe of Chernobyl, who was saying, Rabbona Sholem, my wife has this woman who helps her in the house. And she's thinking about leaving her. She's thinking about quitting. She told my wife she's not sure if she can work for her anymore. And it's really helpful to my wife. But she helps. She helps out. You know, Hashem, please don't let her quit. Please don't let her quit. And the way that the Rebbe was davening, they thought it was like mamish, someone's life was on the line. So afterwards, this chassid said, Rebbe, you know, I listened into your conversation, and obviously, you know, I guess for your wife it's a big thing. You know, she needs the help around the house. But like, to daven such an intense tefillah, to bother Hashem with such a petty need, so if the lady quits, if the masharis quits, so you'll go and you'll find another cleaning lady, whatever it is. And the Rebbe Chernobyl said so simplistically, he said back to this chassid, he said, if I'm not going to talk to Hashem about this, who am I going to talk to? Every detail of my life is a conversation with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, who am I going to rely on someone else to help me? Hashem is the answer to all of life's problems. And that's what it means. Bitachon is dveikus v'Hashem. Bitachon is a dveikus v'Hashem. Bitachon is a yishuv hadas. That again, that a person is able to go with Hashem and know that whatever is going to be, is going to be. Whatever Hashem wants to be, is going to be. And I'm not overwhelmed by anyone or anything. Okay? And now we're going to get into a little bit to anyone. We've been talking about how a person has a false sense of security. Let's talk about how a person, right? How a person of bitachon is not afraid of others. That's what we're going to talk about today. Okay? So we're going to read inside. Again, there's a couple lines I'm going to have to read from you. I apologize, I don't have page 280. It was a mistake in the photocopies. Okay? But here's the next advantage. Then we're going to pick up on the top of page 281. I hope there's enough sheets to go around. Here's another advantage of a Baal Bitachon. Okay? The first advantage we said is, again, a person relies on Hashem and he doesn't get caught up in his money or his wisdom or his other things. And everyone needs someone to rely upon. So if you don't rely on Hashem, you're going to end up getting caught up. You're going to rely on haughty people and wrongful techniques to try to save yourself. Okay? Here's another advantage, a power that's given to a person of true Bitachon. Umehem, another advantage, Shaboteach belokim. Again, it's not on the page yet. I'll let you know when we're there. Umehem shaboteach belokim yevi enu avtachasu alav shelo ya'avod zulaso. When I work for Hashem, and Eved Hashem is an exclusive relationship. Avadaihem velo avadim la'avad. I don't work for anyone else. I don't feel threatened by anyone else. My boss doesn't control me. My doctor's prediction about, you know, my ability to survive or not survive a particular illness doesn't frighten me. Because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Now that doesn't mean, according to the Chazon Ish, again, Chassidus may say differently, and Chomos HaLevavos may say differently. But the Chazon Ish understood that bitachon doesn't mean that I get what I want. If I have enough bitachon, then automatically this terrible disease disappears. It doesn't always work that way. Hashem might have a master plan that doesn't allow this person to live, or this person to get the job, or to have whatever it is that they need. The bitachon, according to the Chazon Ish, means the yishuv hadas, that my life is not governed by chance. If things didn't work out the way I would have wanted, I'm still okay because that's what Hashem wanted. Right? The Chovas Levavos, we'll see, maybe says a little bit differently. Maybe my trust in Hashem can actually change my reality. We'll see it. We'll see if that's true. But either way, I'm certainly not afraid of people. And that's his main point right now. A person who's boteach b'Hashem doesn't serve others. He may have a boss who he works for, but his boss is not his boss. He doesn't feel subservient to him. And if his boss is the wrong type of person, he's not afraid to say it to his boss. Well, he's going to get fired. He's going to lose his job. He stands up. He's a person who has the confidence to stand up for what's right. He doesn't feel subservient to others. He doesn't put all of his hope in others. Again, he doesn't feel like this is the last person who can help me. What about God? God can help you. Again, it doesn't mean that Hashem always will make it work out the way that you want. But he doesn't put all of his hope in man. He doesn't long. He doesn't feel that he always has to kiss up to people, as we're about to see. He doesn't feel concerned that he always needs other people to like his decisions. He has the confidence to do what's right because it's right. He's not looking for kavod. He's not looking for someone to pat him on the back and to give him that encouragement. He doesn't need that. He knows he's doing what Hashem wants, and that's all that he needs. When the Chafetz Chaim was writing the Mishnah Berurah, so some people don't realize this, there was a team of people writing the Mishnah Berurah. It wasn't just the Chafetz Chaim. So he was writing at one point, I think with his son-in-law, and they were working on just a small line in the Mishnah Berurah. We don't realize sometimes that what went into a couple of words of Mishnah Berurah, right, to clarify a halacha, was hours and hours of research. From the Gemara, to the Rishonim, to the Poskim, until finally Chafetz Chaim was able to put it into print in half a sentence, a summation of everything basically that came beforehand. So anyway, so his son-in-law, I don't remember who it was, turned to him and said, you know, it's kind of chaval that we're working on this for hours and hours and hours and hours, and someone's going to sit in shul one day, in a 15-minute Mishnah Berurah Chavrusa or Chabura, and in like 2 seconds they're going to read this line. They're not going to realize all the effort that went into producing this line. It's kind of chaval. Hours and hours of a melis batara. So the Chafetz Chaim gave the following mashal, a true mashal. He said when the Tsar in Russia was having the intercontinental railroad being built, right? And yeah, imagine a person, a simple laborer. Imagine a father and son working side by side to lay these iron tracks, backbreaking labor, sometimes in the freezing cold, right? And the son, imagine, turns to his father and he says, you know, Dad, is anyone going to realize when someone rides the train and the comforts of the train, are they going to appreciate the effort that went into producing this? How hard it was to build these tracks, to make the train, to be able to travel with such speed and security? And the father turns back to his son and he says, does it really matter? The Tsar has asked us to work. Right? Our leader of Russia has asked us to work for the motherland. So does it really matter what Yankel, who's riding the train, thinks? And the Chafetz Chaim said the same thing is true with regard to our writing the Mishnah Berurah. Do I need someone who's reading the Mishnah Berurah to appreciate the effort that I made to produce the Mishnah Berurah to make it worthwhile? I'm doing God's work. I'm doing Hashem's work. I don't need anyone else's approval. And that's a very delicate, example. Sometimes it's much more fierce when a person is fighting for approval about much more petty things. I don't need anyone's approval. I don't need to try to win anyone over. I work for Hashem. If I'm doing right by God, then I'm doing good. V'lo yachanif lehem. And I don't falsely flatter people. Do you realize that there's a whole section in the Orach HaTzaddikim? I brought it along. I'm going to read very little of it right now. There's a whole section, one of the gates in the Orach HaTzaddikim, he dedicates an entire gate, one of the great early works of Musar. The 24th gate is called Shar HaChanifus, the gate of flattery. And he talks about 9 categories of flattery, which are bad, some worse than others. What does it mean to flatter people? I'll give you one example. The 6th category consists of one who is in a position to protest, but does not do so, and who does not take to heart the deeds of sinners. He's too scared to tell the guy talking in shul next to him, please be quiet. What if, I don't know, this guy is, he's a wealthy guy in the community, he's an influential person. What if he stops liking me? How is that going to affect me? What do you mean? He's doing the wrong thing in shul. You don't come to shul to talk. That's not what shul is about. So don't be silent in the face of a sin. Don't pretend it's not a big deal. This is akin to flattery, says the Orach HaTzaddikim. For the sinners think, since they do not protest and they do not rebuke us, all of our deeds must be good. And why am I scared to stand up to this individual? Or the 8th category consists of one who hears speakers of slander or profanity, or who sits in the midst of scoffers and shamers of Torah and mitzvos. You hear someone make a joke about about a religious person or about a particular mitzvah. They poke fun at a mitzvah. And knowing them to be stiff-necked and scorners of reproof, he keeps quiet. You have a right to stand up for what's right. And you're flattering them. Right? You're giving kavod to a person who's speaking out against Torah or against Torah people. And he goes through various categories of people, and it's a real, it may even be an Isra Daraisa, Hanifa, to flatter someone, to falsely flatter someone. So a person to be tachon says, I don't care what you're going to think of me. I'm not afraid of you. I'm only afraid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I only have one being to answer to, and that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When the Rebbe Rayatz, when the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, had a pistol pressed up against his temple by a KGB officer who was trying to intimidate him, and he was calm as can be, and he very famously replied, a person who believes in one world and many gods is afraid of a gun, is afraid of a pistol. But a person who believes in one God and more than one world, you don't scare me. I know I'm doing right by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you're going to kill me, let's assume you have the ability to kill me, right? The Rechaim HaKadosh says people can do things to other people, even if it's not God's master plan. It's part of our free will. Some would say, maybe not. Only if God wants me dead will I actually die. Okay. God will decide whether you decide to kill me. Okay, we're not getting into that right now. Right? But he said, but a person who believes in two worlds, so you're just helping me transition to the next world. As a holy martyr who died out of Kiddush Hashem. So he wasn't scared. Can you imagine in such a moment to not be afraid? To have the clarity, the confidence? And you don't have to be the Rebbe Rayatz. You know, when the Rebbe Rayatz was in jail, there was a senator from Idaho named Senator William Borah. I read this in the Chaim Miller biography of the Lubavitch Rebbe called Turning Judaism Outward. He said that this William Borah, they were appealing to different senators to try in America to try to help. Right? So this William Borah said, commenting on his willingness to help the Rebbe Rayatz and to work with the Russians to try to, you know, to try to free him from his captivity for the terrible crime of teaching Torah or whatever else they, you know, the other charges they had against him. So Senator William Borah said, you know, very often as politicians, what he said, non-Jewish senator from Idaho, he said, very often as politicians, we make decisions in order to get votes, let's be honest. He said, but once in a while, and he was saying this about his willingness to help some rabbi, some European rabbi, to help the Rebbe Rayatz, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, he said, but sometimes, he said, I make sure that I make the right choice so that I can get a vote in the world to come. That's what he said. He said, this is one of those situations. I don't really care what public opinion says about this. This rabbi is a holy man, and I'm gonna do something to make sure I get the grand vote in the world beyond this world. Right? To do it for God. I don't care. I don't care if it's gonna increase my popularity, right, amongst my voters. I'm doing what's right because it's right. That's a courageous thing. It's a courageous thing for a politician to do, it's a courageous thing for any person to do. So again, a person of bitachon doesn't feel the need to flatter others. And he doesn't agree to them when they do things that are against Hashem. He's not willing to play along. And their matters and their way of doing things don't frighten him. He says, this is wrong. I can't support this. Right? And it may be the person who pays his salary. But I'm not gonna allow this to go on. This is not acceptable behavior. Okay, now we're on the top of page 281, so join me inside. V'lo yirah m'machlakosam. Right? And he's not frightened to challenge them, to get into machlokas with them. This fellow stands up and does what's right because it's right. When the Baal Shem Tov's father passed away at a young age, the Baal Shem Tov's father said to him, his dying words to his son, were fear no one but Hashem. That's what the Baal Shem Tov was taught by his father in his dying moment. Fear no one but Hashem. Right? And the Baal Shem Tov was a revolutionary. And there was plenty of opposition to the Baal Shem Tov, the Talmidov, in trying to bring Hasidus to the world. And many of them suffered terribly on behalf of Hashem, but they felt this is what Klal Yisrael needed, this is what was right. Do it for Hashem. Right? So to not be afraid to engage in debate with those who are powerful. Aval yispashet mi bigdei tovasam. Rather, he should free himself from the need to receive their kindness and their goodness. He doesn't want to be burdened by having to thank them. I don't want to owe anyone anything other than God. Hashem is the only one I owe something to. I don't want to feel indebted to them. V'im yochiach osam lo yizar b'chvodam. Obviously, in a way that's appropriate to speak to any human being or to a fellow Jew. He's sensitive, right? But he doesn't, he's not extra cautious that they deserve extra honor because, again, because they're an influential person in the community or because they're wealthy or because they're really smart or because they're powerful. This person says, I don't care what you are. I work for Hashem and I'm taking a stand. I'm taking a stand against you because I feel that what you're doing is wrong. V'im yachli meim lo yevosh mehem. And if he comes to embarrass them, and again, we don't look to embarrass Jews, right? But if he does something to shame this individual, because this person is not willing to learn, he's not ashamed. He's not ashamed to shame this person, to put this person in their place. If that's what's appropriate, again, there are halachos for embarrassing people, and there's a way to give tochcha. Chavos Lavavos knows all those things, right? But he's so unafraid to stand up for what's right because he only works for Hashem. V'lo yiyapel lahem hasheker. And he doesn't feel a need to try to beautify their lies. Kamosha Amar Hanavi Vahashem Elokim Ya'azar Li Alkein Lo Nichlamti Alkein Samti Panai Kachalamish. I made myself like a flint rock. Ve'eda Kilo Evosh. And I made it known that I'm not afraid of anyone. That's a bold person. That's a person that's hard to come by. But says the Chovas Levavos, that's a sign of a Baal Bitachon. Because no one can do anything to me. I have complete menuchas hanefesh that the only one who can impact my life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a beautiful teaching from the Baal Shem Tov. It's quoted by the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, which is the first Hasidic work ever published. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef in Parshas Vayeshev, quotes from the Baal Shem Tov. And you'll say Oz Yashir differently if you never heard this Vart before. It's amazing. You're noticing. You say, how did I never notice? If I never noticed this, how did I never notice this? Five words in a row that start with the letter Aleph. Who knows what I'm talking about? Right, where is it? Amar, Oyev, Erdov, Asig, Achalek. What's that about? Five words in a row, five Alephs in a row. Now it's a very scary pasuk. Amar, Oyev. When the enemy declares, yeah, when Hitler Yimach Shemo is giving some rabid speech about his plan to destroy his people, right? Or our Arab cousins are calling for the destruction of the Jewish people in the state of Israel. Amar Aryeh, when they're able to say it, it's one thing to have secret plans against us, to have the chutzpah, and to have the negative courage to take us so head on. It's scary. You hear something like that. It's frightening. When the enemy says with such a degree of brazenness, Amar Aryeh, the enemy declares, Erdof, I'm going to pursue you. Asig, I'm going to overtake you. Achalek, I'm going to divide up everything that you own. I'm going to finish you off. Very, very scary. Says the Baal Shem Tov, how does a person stay calm in such a situation? Just look at Aleph, 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 Aleph. Five Alephs. Right? Who's the Aleph? The Aleph explained the Baal Shem Tov, right? Of course, Aleph is one, so you can say it's Hashem is one. He also understood that Aleph means Alufo Shal Olam, the master of the world. Who's really the Baal Abbas? Who's really in charge here? So the enemy is talking a big game. The enemy is talking very frightening things, but who's in charge? Who's really in charge? Why am I panicked? Why am I getting anxious? Why am I getting nervous? Pirkei Avos is the section of Chazal that is entirely dedicated to developing us as people. And you know what's really amazing? Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter points this out. You know what's really amazing? There's a sefer called Osef Amarim that I brought along. A volume on Midos from Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter. He's one of the leading tzaddikim of Breslov today in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter says, you know what the first thing we're taught is? Havu mesunim b'din. Havu mesunim b'din. Be deliberate in judgment. So everyone says, well, if I'm not a dayan, what does this mean to me? I don't sit on a beis din. Anyone here sit on a beis din regularly? Except, shimuna dayanim mumchim, right? It's an ironic phrase, Dayanim Mumchim, right? As we begin to wake up for the Yom Naram process a little too late. Okay, so Shimuna Dayanim Mumchim, right? But other than that, most of us are not Dayanim. So what does it mean? Havu Mesunim B'din, be deliberate, be slow to judge. And Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter points out, this is how Pirkei Avos begins. This is like the backbone of all of our character. Be slow to judge. We've pointed out again, the Chovas Levavos says, an indicator of Bitachon is Menuchas HaNefesh. Not being panicked, being deliberate in the way that I do things, not losing myself. The first curse in the Tochacha is v'hifkadati aleichem bahala. V'hifkadati aleichem bahala. I'm going to bring upon you what? Panic. That's the antithesis of what. And when you start to panic, you bring all the curses that follow upon yourself. When a Jew has menuchas hanefesh and he walks with Hashem, he's not afraid of anyone or anything. Hashem runs the show. So explains Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter. Hevu mesunim b'din is yes. There's a reason it's the first thing in Pirkei Avos. It's the backbone of our character. Do I know how to maintain my composure? Do I lose myself the second something happens? The second there's a bump in the road. Can I maintain my composure? He says, when I was younger, I was sitting with Rav Gedalia Kenick. Rav Gedalia Kenick passed away in 1980. He was the one who brought Breslov to Tzvat and brought them there. He's the one who established Breslov's stronghold in Tzvat. So he said, I was sitting with Rav Gedalia Kenick, who was a very lovely, lovely tzaddik, very, very sweet person. And he said, I was sitting, it makes it sound like they were like sitting outside one day, like good Breslovers sitting in Tzvat and, after a good hisbod of the session, sitting outside. And he said, Rav Gedalia pointed out to him, he said, do you realize that almost all the big mistakes of Jewish history were caused by a person who just didn't keep their cool, who didn't have menuchas nefesh, who wasn't mesunim b'din, who was rushing, the way the Cholos Lavavos described last week, right? A person goes running to all sorts of ways to try to solve the problem instead of just turning to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the primary source of the problem and the answer to the problem. He says, take for example, Chet Eitz Hadas, Mechiras Yosef, Maisa Egel. They're all people who are rushing. Eitz Hadas, for example. The Svarim HaKadoshim say, I have different opinions what the Eitz Hadas was. Was it a grape? Was it grapes? Was it figs? Was it wheat? One opinion of the Medrash was an esrog. Let's assume it's grapes, like many Svarim assume. When was Adam created? On Erev Shabbos. It was almost Shabbos. What was he going to make kiddush on that Shabbos? So the Svarim say he was going to make kiddush on those grapes, the forbidden fruit. Hashem was going to give him permission to enjoy the forbidden fruit. But he couldn't wait. He lost his cool. He didn't walk with Hashem. And the Nachash seduced him and Chava into thinking, they know better. You can become like God. Why should you be subservient to God? And next thing you know, the whole world was destroyed. And death was brought to the world. And Adam and Chava were kicked out of Gan Eden. Mechiras Yosef. They were too quick to judge Yosef. Yosef was actually a person who was deeply connected to Hashem. Yosef a tzaddik, the one who would make the best choices in the most difficult situations. And yet the brothers were too quick to judge him. Egel, the Jews panicked. Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avdo. Instead of believing in Hashem and trusting that Moshe is going to come back, Moshe is running a little bit late, and all of a sudden the Jews are so panicked. Amar, Oyev, Erdov, Asik, Achalek, Aleph, 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 Aleph. A Jew who walks with the Aleph doesn't get afraid, doesn't get nervous, doesn't matter what the enemy says, doesn't matter what my boss says, it doesn't matter what anyone says, because I work for Kadosh Baruch Hu, period. That's it. I don't need to flatter anyone. I don't need to kiss up to anyone. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to decide what type of success I'm going to have in this world. And again, when I live that way, I'm able to breathe. I'm not worried about other people's opinions. The famous part from the Kotzker the other week in Parsha Shlach, right, when they said about the giants that they saw in Eretz Yisrael, right? That we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. First of all, how do you know how they saw you? And why should you care how someone else sees you? Why are you so worried about how other people perceive you? Why are you so worried? Like the Chafetz Chaim again told his son, we don't have to worry about what people think about our Mishnah Berurah. We're writing for Hashem. We're not in it for the kavod. We don't feel threatened by people recognizing or not recognizing us. If someone does something wrong, I have the courage to stand up to them. And he quotes a whole series of psukim here. Let's read inside. Va'amar al tira mehem, the pasuk in Yecheskel. Al tira mehem umidivreim al tira. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the things that they say. Yecheskel further says, midivreim al tira umipneim al techas. Don't be afraid. Don't be challenged by them. Al tira mipneim, pasuk in Yirmiyah as well. Yirmiyah also says, Al teichas mipneihem, nothing to fear. Va'amar, and Yecheskel says, Kishamir chazak mitzur nasati mitzchecha. I made my forehead, right, my metzach, I made it strong, like a strong rock. Lo siro osam v'lo seichas mipneihem. Over and over, the Navim had to be courageous people. To take on Klal Yisrael, to take on others, it takes tremendous courage. And again, a person of bitachon is a person who has that courage. Okay, so this is another advantage of a Baal Bitachon. that I'm not frightened, that I don't feel the need to always be looking over my shoulder, what is someone else going to think of me? Who am I, you know, making sure sees me in a favorable way? Because maybe I'll need to call on them for a favor. You won't need to call on them for a favor. You don't need to put your hope in them. You don't need to put your trust in them. Right? You don't need to flatter them. You have a right to say, excuse me, what you're doing is wrong. And to not be afraid that there's going to be repercussions just because that guy happens to be on the shul board. Okay. What are you going to do? You chase me out of town? I'm speaking like the rabbi now. Right? As a rabbi, you have to worry about these things. Regular people in the crowd should, you know. But whatever it is, whatever social fears we have about taking a stand about real things. But if I work for Hashem, and if my bottom line is, sacha kol, if my bottom line is, ein od milvado, if I'm davuk to Hashem, like again, like the Maharal said, that's again an indicator of true bitachon, then that's it. B'chol derechecha de'eyu, do I walk with Hashem in the big things and the little things? Everyone takes a stand when there's a big issue. But the little issues, do I take a stand for Hashem? Do I put my neck out there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's an important, it's a very important indicator. Okay? Another advantage of a Baal Bitachon, a few more minutes. Umehen, a further advantage. Shaboteach belokim yevi'eyu bitchono lifanos eslibo me'inyani ha'olam. A person who trusts in Hashem is able, again, as we learned last week, to not be so busy with the pursuits of this world. Uliyache levavo l'inyani avoda, to focus on spiritual pursuits, to have the time and the space to focus on spiritual growth. V'yadome b'menuchas nafsho, v'rochav libo, u'mi da'agaso l'inyani olamo, and he's able to have peace of mind and an expansive heart and very little worry, as we learned last week that the word da'aga has an aleph and a gimel and a dalet and a hey, but it's missing a beis, it's missing bitachon. Right? Worry and bitachon are opposites. Prove it to me. Prove it to me that worry and bitachon, prove it to me from Havdalah. Hinei kel yeshuasi, evtach, v'lo'avchad. They're opposites. A person bitachon is not nervous. I'm not worried. It doesn't mean things always work out the way that I want. But I also know that everything is going to be fine. It's going to be the way it's supposed to be. It's going to be the way Hashem wants it to be. And that should give me tremendous yishuv hadas. So he compares a person of bitachon of all people. Look at this, very interesting. Lebal ha'alchemia, to an alchemist. He compares it to an alchemist. What does he mean by an alchemist? V'hu yodea lafoch ha'kesef lezav, a person who knows, who has the scientific means to turn silver into gold. V'anachoshes v'abedil lekesef, and to turn copper and tin into silver. Al yidei chochmo masa. Right? A person basically can print his own money, you know, can take cheap materials and turn it into, right? Turn it into, so if he needs more money, just prints more money. If he needs more gold, he can make more gold. He knows the secret of making gold. Right? He has complete yishuv hadas. I don't have anything to worry about. I have all of my means. However, says the Chovos HaLevavos, we're just going to start it now, there are 10 advantages to the Baal Bitachon over the alchemist. Right. The alchemist, that's pretty cool, that he has the ability to turn silver into gold. Right? So if he needs more money, he takes some silver and he turns it into gold. But even he has issues that the Baal Bitachon doesn't have. 10 examples of why Bitachon is better, right? Why a Baal Bitachon is better than an alchemist. Okay? Let's just start one or two of them, a couple of them. Let's see. Tchilasom. First of all, Shabbat l'kamiya tzarech l'dvar miyuchadim l'malacha. First of all, if the alchemist, if he wants to turn silver into gold, he needs silver. He needs materials, right? He needs the raw materials. He needs something from which to then achieve the great results, which in his mind are guaranteed. If I have the raw materials, then for sure I'll have success. Okay, but he needs the raw materials. Lo yugmar lo davar zulasam. He can't accomplish anything if he doesn't have the raw materials. He could turn raw materials into much more valuable materials, but he needs the scraps to get started. And he doesn't always have access to that. Even if it's something which, you know, at times is abundant and at times is very easy to come by, but it may not always be the time or the place for him to get the raw materials. In which case, he's stuck. But a person who trusts in Hashem, tarfo muftach lo mikol siba misibo sa'olam. But the person who trusts in Hashem is never stuck. His sustenance is guaranteed. Hashem has an infinite number of ways to get him what he needs. The materials never run out. There's never a shortage. There's never a shortage of whatever it is that he needs to live. Kamosha Amar Kasav, as the Pasuk says in Akev, Leman hodiacha ki loa halechem levado yichya adam. Man does not live on bread alone. Ki al kol motza pi Hashem yichya adam. But rather on the motza pi Hashem. Right? Now there's a famous teaching from the Arizal here that the bracha that you make on the food, the motza pi Hashem, when you talk about Hashem over the food, that's what actually sustains you. But the way he's understanding the Pasuk here is that It's not the bread itself that sustains you. Hashem has an infinite number of ways to sustain you. Hashem can make life work out for you in an infinite number of ways. Don't be panicked. You studied, you went to college, you got a degree in this thing, and now you're finding out that the market has changed and no one's hiring in that thing, and what's going to be, right? And now I'm stuck with the wrong set of skills. Not to worry. Hashem will help you find another way to survive. Hashem has an infinite number of ways of providing you with sustenance. Because Hashem has no limitations. Hashem's means are never nivtzar, never withheld. Hashem always has a way to get you what you need. For example, we find in Tanakh several examples. Kasher yadata midavar Eliyahu im ha'orvim. When Eliyahu made the rain stop because of the wicked king Achav. Right? And now he's hiding out down by some river. And he's drinking the water. What's he doing for food? The ravens are bringing him. The ravens are literally bringing him bread and meat, right? I don't know what the hechsher was. I'm not sure where they were bringing it from, right? But okay, he had what to eat. Hashem says, "Not to worry. I'm going to go to this desolate area. How am I going to survive? There's not even a 7-Eleven there. What am I going to do to get snacks? Don't worry. Hashem says, I'll send the ravens. And the ravens, b'hashgacha pratis, came and delivered food to Eliyahu. V'ma'isha almana. Right? And when that ran out, and that it was time for him to move on to his next stop, the Tsarfas woman, right? So he went to her, and also he saw wonders in her house in terms of being able to sustain himself from the minimal supply that she had. V'ugas ritzafim v'tzapachas hamayim, and the bread or the cakes that were baked on coals, and the jug of water, right? After Eliyahu comes from Har Carmel after the famous showdown with the Nevi'e Baal, right? And also, it's unclear what he's going to do to survive. He sees himself in sakana. And all of a sudden, just food just keeps appearing out of nowhere. The Jews ate something called man, you remember? And we put aside a jar of man to remind ourselves that Hashem has an infinite number of ways of supplying us with our sustenance. Again, the Chovas Avos is not saying that you can just sit back and do nothing. But you don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be panicked. Right? The Kodesh Baruch Hu has a way to provide. Udvar Ovadyahu. That there were 150 Nevi'im hiding in a cave, and he was able to provide them with bread and water. Hashem has a way to provide. And therefore, think about this pasuk next time you say it. Kfirim rashu v'ra'evu. Sometimes young lions, which are very strong, and seemingly should be able to find something to eat, roaming the jungle and killing whatever they need for themselves to sustain themselves. And yet sometimes the young lions, the powerful lions, are left hungry. V'darshe Hashem lo yachzru kol tov. But a person who trusts in Hashem is never left wanting. Hashem finds a way to provide. And therefore, yiru es Hashem kidoshav. Right? Fear Hashem, trust in Hashem, put your faith and your trust in Hashem. Ki ein machsor li re'av. Because Hashem never gets stuck. And therefore, a person who keeps Hashem is the bottom line of einon movado. I walk with Hashem. And that's all that matters to me. That's the most important thing in the world to me. Such a person has that guarantee. Okay, so this is the first of the 10 differences between the alchemist and the Baal Bitachon. Again, that the alchemist needs the raw materials and he doesn't always have them at his disposal. But a person Bitachon, again, walk with Hashem, be davuk to Hashem, cling to Hashem, talk to Hashem about anything and everything, believe that Hashem can always provide. Again, that doesn't mean Hashem always will choose to provide, but I'm not nervous. My life is not run and governed by chance. Right? And Hashem always has another way to get me what I need. Don't trust my wealth. Don't trust my wisdom. Don't be afraid to stand up for what's right and to falsely flatter people who don't deserve to be flattered. Right? Don't be so concerned about how someone else is going to judge you or how someone else is going to assess your worthiness in their eyes because of their position of authority. And that's what real bitachon is. It's the ikar akol, as the Vilna Gaon said, It's the most important thing, as L'Chos Lavavo said, and it's what Habakkuk said. Habakkuk was summing up the entirety of the Torah, again, at the end of Maseches Makos. Habakkuk said, it really comes down to one thing. V'tzadik be'emunaso yechya. To live with Emunah. To live with Emunah. Right? And the living with Emunah is what we're learning, called Bitachon. It's not just a theory, but to live with Emunah. As Rav Mordechai Pogromansky said, and this is my last statement for the night, Rav Motl Pogromansky said, what does it mean, tzadik be'emunaso yechya? Yechya, to live. What are the things that you do as part of life? To live with Emunah means to eat with Emunah, to sleep with Emunah, to talk with Emunah, to walk with Emunah, to breathe with Emunah. Yechya. All the things that make up our life, to do it with Emunah. Okay? So halavai, we should be zocha to live such a life. Okay, we'll daven ma'ariv now for those who are interested. Yeah, and everyone's invited to kugel and chillin' and delicious things. Wings and things.